So in the book of Job, chapter number 37, and verse number 22. Now Elihu and these men might not have been right about a lot of things, but they was right about this thing. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and plenty in justice, and He will not afflict, and that word is oppress. With God is terrible majesty. I want to preach on the danger of the lost majesty of God in our day. Father, we're here partly because of the kind invitation of this pastor and these congregations, but God, more so because we are indebted unto You, Lord. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. Therefore not limelight nor applause, but oh God, that anointing that somehow transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. When we're through with these broken remarks this morning, God, stretch forth Your hand, confirm Your word, and God, we'll give You the praise and the honor and all the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. The congregation said, amen. Maybe it's because that I'm growing older. Maybe it's because that we realize, as I told him at Brother Randy's last night, really how close heaven and earth really is. But one of the most awesome thoughts that I've had lately, Brother Ryan, is that without family or friends, I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not worried about my salvation, but I'm worried about standing there and looking at Him and Him looking at me, knowing that my works are going to be tried by the fire. And I've heard folks say, if I can just get by the skin of my teeth, I'll be satisfied. I know what they're saying, but I don't want to just get by. I tell the Lord almost every day, Lord, I don't want to go with just what I've got right now. I feel like there's been so much time that I could have done more. But the church world today, right now, is experiencing trouble by and large because we have surrendered that once lofty concept of God and have it substituted it with some kind of a low, ignoble idea of something totally unworthy of the thought of God of heaven. All of this that's happened in the last 40 years could not have happened had we kept before our people the awesomeness of an almighty God. Oh, stand by me, Lord. Amen. And with that loss of the sense of the majesty, we have lost, as he said today, so much of the spirit of worship. And we are raising a generation by and large who does not understand that ability to inwardly move into and meet God in that adoring worship center of our own. We've lost that ability to meditate upon the things of God until our hearts burn within us. In this information age that we're living in, it's push a button. Amen. Us research it, click it out, and you've got it. But there's something lacking. I've heard some of the best preaching that I've ever heard in my life. Amen. In the last few years. But the thing that bothers me, don't pat me on the back and tell me how good I've preached with empty altars and dried eyes. Saints not being able to wait to get out of the house of God. Oh, listen, church. Hey, amen. We got to. Hey, amen. It is impossible. It is impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attitudes right when we have such ideals of God that are so inadequate of what He is. You can't ask a young man or a woman to live a vision that they've never seen. They've never experienced it. I don't advocate it, But some of us come out of the world in such a way that we had such a crisis experience that it so utterly transformed us forever. I do not understand backsliding. I know that men do, but I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Not from where I came from. Hey man, I've been low. First time I ever heard that song, I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, and mistreated. I said, make that my theme song. But brother, in all that I've went through, all the hurt and the disappointment of over 40 years of being in this, amen, I ain't never felt like cashing it in or changing the brand. Amen, I felt like I want to ride for Him in all of it. Amen, listen, we had that, but we've got a group growing up, amen, seemed like they never had that crisis experience. Amen, they just grew up in church, learned how to walk the walk and talk the talk and do it all. But where is that inward, deep drawing away? Someone said, in spite of the billions of people around the face of the earth, today we are the loneliest generation that's ever lived. You can't get in the vehicle without punching the button. You can't enter the room without turning on the radio. Oh, God, help us. God help us, the church. The church must become relevant again. In order to do that, we must get back to the right thinking of God. To realize that we're coming into the majesty. With these words, Jesus described what the church ought to be. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the preservative. You are the holding back influence. You are what keeps the society from going crazy. You are the light of the world, shining brighter and brighter in the darkness. That's what we ought to be. But too many of the churches that I'm visiting today are nothing more than an infirmary trying to put band-aids and bummed up that's bound up and bound up when we ought to be, amen, an armed camp of mighty warriors, amen, ready to do battle with the devil. Oh, help me, Lord, be sweet this morning. Glory to God. In 1998, as far back as then, a psychologist, a sociologist, by the name of George Banda, came and did a study in America. And there was some hundred and so many places that he compared the lifestyle with quote-unquote Christians and non-Christians. Attitudes, places they visited, things they did, the way they dressed, the way they did business. And at the conclusion of what he said, I find relatively little difference in the general run. I wonder what he would say now. Our gospel is being canceled by the way that we're living. It ain't what we don't know that's killing us. It's what we don't do. Amen. Truth to be understood and comprehended must be lived out in a life example. To understand what the gospel is, I must see the gospel in you. I remember some time ago I read this article, this story, on a missionary, and they had went into some country, I forgot where, they'd went back deep in where they'd never, as far as they knew, they'd never been a missionary there. And they begin to preach the gospel. And as he was to begin to describe the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his majesty, an old wrinkled lady, an old woman stepped up and she said, I remember him. I know he who he's talking about. He came through our village when I was just a little girl. Some way, somehow, there was a missionary that came there that when she heard the attributes of Jesus, she said he was here one time. Oh, glory to God, help us this morning. What we believe about God will be seen in the way we live. It is man's way to strive to be like the God that he really worships. That's why, help me, Lord, be sweet right here. That's why we're seeing more and more of our Pentecostal holiness young folk wearing the logo of their favorite team. That's why we're seeing more and more of our young ladies and young gentlemen trying to look like, dress like, the one that they are worshiping. The Hollywood movie star. The singers. Help me, Lord. Amen. Among all the sins. Well, you ought to shout it while Randy was here. Among all the sins that a human heart is capable of. None are more hateful to the God of heaven than the idolatry. For you see, and that's where all of this has come from. All this name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. All this speak it. All this standing up. Oh, the Lord just spoke to me. The angel of the Lord came by here. Told me to build him a hospital. That ain't the God that I serve. The one that I'm serving told me to go out and preach the gospel. Amen. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. That's my God. How can that one fly in a Learjet, walk in $1,000 suit, $500 shoes, and claim he's there to represent the man who had to borrow a penny? Amen. To make an illustration. Oh, come on here, church. Amen. That idolatrous heart brings a libel upon the character of God by assuming that he is, amen, that he is something other than he is. A God, and that's a little g, a God begotten in the fallen heart of a man has no true likeness to the God of heaven. That's why the psalmist said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether as you. Amen. You dreamed it up that I was like this. But that ain't the way heaven is. That ain't the way holiness is. That ain't the way God is. This religion, we have a Christianity today that is pagan in its worship. Hello? Pagan in its doctrine. Sought to bring God down to make him no more than other deities. Stout up. It begins in the mind. That's why the Bible said when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wherefore God turned them over to a reprobate mind. What are they? Listen, I've preached folks that was as worldly as they could be. Amen. And turned them around. Amen. And brought them to God. But you'll never change that reprobate. Amen. That's redemption. Created a God. Amen. Created a form of worship that is pagan. Much of what goes on in so-called churches today is an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. The idolater imagines things about God and then acts as if they were true. You would not dare to do some of the things, to think some of the things, to live some of the things that we do if you realize the awesomeness of the possibility of coming into a service where God was going to be there. We've turned the reason we're not getting sinners saved, we ain't getting them lost. You can't convince a man he needs something until he realizes how sick he is. Amen. And the reason we're not doing... Now listen, I still believe the old-time gospel preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can shake a nation, change a kingdom, bring rulers down and lift men up. I want to say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. Amen. The gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. But I believe in the old-time heartfelt, Holy Ghost, sin-killing, devil-revealing movement. Of God that we used to have and we're going to have again. And thank God I'm seeing some young men, amen, that are hungry for holiness and hungry for righteousness. I go away from talking to some of these young men and I say, oh God, don't let me be a fool in my old age. I have met a few men in my life had such an influence over me just being with them that I wanted to go out and pray through all over again just because of being in their presence. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for a man. I've sought for a man among them who will make up the hedge, stand in the gap. I'm looking for somebody. God's looking for a man. That's why that in every service, that's why that every time we go to a meeting somewhere, I wonder, amen, if there might be there, amen, a young man that trembles at the thought of preaching in a youth service, that's nervous and cotton mouthed, amen, that'll spit and stagger when he gets up there, but inside of him is the kernel, amen, of another great Wesley or someone, amen, ready to stir us again and make us wonder what we've been doing. Burden of the church, the burden of the church, the true church right now, is to purify and elevate our concept of God to the place that it is worthy of. That the church exalts her Lord to the place. We can do no greater service to this next generation than giving them and making them to understand, granting them an undimmed concept of a mighty God, giving them the knowledge of the holy. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And the first thing I said was, as I heard the holy, 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 I said, I am undone. Woe is me. God help me. You have no right to go, son, if you've never known the woe. Until you realize what it is to stand before an awesome God. And I read it, the righteous scarcely be saved. God help us. Our burden must be, this must be the call. God help me. The people of the world are starving to death for the grandeur of God to be reintroduced, to offer them a cause better than they are, to see something majestic. It's hard to mesmerize me with a pigskin or a Paul, or something else, when I've been at a Holy Ghost service and felt the sweet Holy Ghost running up and down my spine. It's hard to thrill me with the things of this world. It's hard to show me something out yonder on a click. Well, I've seen the glory of God in the tabernacle. Well, I've seen the power of God falling on His people. God, help us again. It was the glory of God. Was the heart of the apostles preaching. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Say, preacher, you're just an old man. You're out of touch. Listen, I believe in shouting, dancing, running, seat walking, tongue talking religion. But I believe before you go up, you ought to learn how to walk. Amen. And I believe we need a generation that's real. For you see, amen, the glory of God. Amen. I don't believe that the world is as sick as of Jesus as we'd like for to portray that. Help me pray, Sister Ann. I believe that the world is sick of that feeble, bloodless representative that claims to be His minister. Our burden must be to repent, to pray, to humble our hearts until we can have that great last day church marching forth with her Lord's name in their forehead and the marks of His service in their hands. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I preached not long ago in a church and all kinds of stories about our ministry and all that we've done. But I'm going to tell you something. All I got to do to remind me that I'm not where I could be. It's called remembrance. A little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy that stood before me somewhere in America expecting to be healed. Deaf, dumb, and he went away. And I realized it's not my power. I can't heal an ingrown toenail. But if we could get to that place where our hand would become an extension of that nail-scarred hand, oh, glory. They got a right to see what you saw. Thank God. If we will, amen, we must not fail. We must not fail. We've seen what happened when the others fall. We've seen what the compromise has done. We must not fail. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us that will change the world and bring a last day revival that we have prayed about and cried over and believed. Earlier this year, as always, and I'm closing. Earlier this year, as always, I've tried to pray in the first of the year. God, give me direction. Lord, give me the burden. Give me the fresh anointing for this year. Let me have a fresh vision for the year. And I was praying in my study, and I was begging God, and I was saying, Lord, we need another visitation from heaven. Would you visit us once again? And I speak as a fool, but as sure as I'm standing here, Gene, I heard the Lord say, there's been many visitations, and you've seen them. But we don't need a visitation. I'm looking for a habitation. And, oh, hallelujah. And when the church creates an atmosphere again, amen, when the church creates a habitation for the Spirit, Sister Ann said a while ago, if we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, there must not be anything in there.
We must create according to the pattern.
And when we do, he said, I'll take out my abode with my people again. We won't see a move, a sporadic revival here and a breakout there, but we'll see a united effort. One holy, one last day push that'll bring revival before the darkest night closes upon the world. Amen. God help us. God help us. Amen. Speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Speak to us, God. Again, I will say unto my people, I stand ready to give you the revival that you've prayed for, fasted for, and believed for. I simply ask you to return unto that which you know in your heart of hearts. And when you get hungry enough, humble enough, holy enough, and draw near enough to me, I'll be the God of the book and the God of your soul. And I'll do again that which I have promised. For I am the Lord, and I change not. Would you just raise your hand? God, make us a habitation. Make us a vessel fit for the Master's use. Create in us a clean heart and give us the right spirit. Draw us and we'll run after you. How long has it been since you could say with the psalmist, my heart burned within me as I meditated upon the things of God? How long has it been since you dared to say, Lord, I love you, and it not sound empty and hollow? I want to, and my burden is that we are in danger, that we're letting slip, and we're losing the majesty, familiarity with the ark caused Uzziah to put his hand on something that God didn't need his hand on. Sometimes we get so used to knowing how we think we know how to do it that we forget to let him do it. Amen. I want that wine, Brother Randy. This is the burden of my heart this morning, and I'm through. I don't mean to demean. I challenge you. I challenge you today to dare to say, Lord, as Ann sang this morning, whatever you want, Lord. Brother Prescott can come. Let me say this to you. You have not really worshiped until you have given God the thing you love the most. The shouting, the rejoicing, the running is just running over. The exuberance, the joy. But Worship is what Abraham said to those three young men. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worship's when you lay it all on the altar. And I'm going to tell you something. In 40 years of preaching, 35 years pastoring one church, I thought I pretty well had everything on the altar. But laying there on that bed of affliction all those times, examining my life over and over, I found myself saying, Lord, I don't want to face it this way. We used to sing a song, and somebody come and let's make an altar. He said, I have to just pray. We used to sing a song back in our country. Must I go there empty-handed? I don't want to, do you? Let's stand. Somebody come to the piano, if you would. The pastors gave us an okay to call around an altar. I want to challenge you today, and I want to say you're the best people on the face of the earth with all of our faults and failures. I'll stand with you above them all. But I say unto you, young men, because you're strong, I challenge you to learn while you're young to draw away into a secret place and learn to meditate, to think on, to expand your thought life of God. As they sang, let's open the altars and let's pray.